Good morning.
Good morning.
It's really good to have you all here, every one of you. It's a blessing, but it's a blessing to have all this beautiful family here today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 12, and then 14 and 15. And I'd like to ask you to stand when you get there as I read from God's Word. Today we're looking at God's forgiveness. And I believe it's a message we all need to hear today. God's forgiveness. Matthew 6, 12, and then verses 14 and 15. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the reading of your word. And God, your word, we pray, will just touch our hearts, that it will change our lives. And God, this morning, let us realize that Father, you do forgive us when we ask. But Lord, I know many times as human beings, it's hard for us to forgive. Help us, God, to be the ones that immediately forgive others when they've done wrong to us, Lord, realizing the release we get in our life. And Father, as I preach this word, let every bit of this come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You might be seated. I want to ask you a question. Just how important is the matter of forgiveness? It's so important that Jesus addressed it in a couple different ways. One being the model prayer, and he teaches us to pray for forgiveness, but he makes it clear that we are to be forgiving people. Forgiveness is not just a one-way street. This is a two-way. Let's think about God and how he forgives us as the avenue as to how we should understand that we should choose forgiveness over bitterness. First thing I want to look at this morning is that God's forgiveness happens instantly. You and I as Christian people, we're going to fail every day. I've said this before. We live in the flesh. As long as you and I live in this flesh, we're still going to sin. We are still going to fall. Now, Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for the remission of sins. And the moment that we got saved and we came to Christ, Christ's blood covered us and made us clean. And God's grace was poured out upon us because God knew that we would still have our shortcomings in life. But when we do fail God, it's very important that we don't let it go for days on end, because if we sin and we fail God and we let it continue to go, it will fester, it will eat you up, and it will make you a bitter person over time. When you have failed God, you should go to God immediately, and the Bible says that we should confess our sins before Him, and we should ask, we should repent, which means to turn away from our sin and ask God to forgive us, and God immediately forgives us of our sin. There's a lot of times that people will ask God for forgiveness, and then as soon as they do, they pick up what they've done and they throw it over their shoulder and they start to carry it through life all over again. And I have seen many a good Christian people live a defeated life because the devil, the enemy, has brought back the remembrance of their past. So I want you to know this. If God forgives you instantly what you have laid before His throne, you must leave it there and you must walk away and you have to accept His forgiveness. You have to accept His mercy and His grace. And the moment that you do that, if there's anybody that you can think of that has made you mad, that has said something against you or your family, or in some way they have done you wrong, then we are commanded by God the Father to immediately forgive that person or those people. Too many times we ask God for forgiveness, but then we want to hold a grudge against one or two or more people, and it may be even people that we fellowship with together Sunday after Sunday in God's house. You ever had somebody make you mad, and then you say, well, you know what? I'm not going to talk to them. I'm going to make them suffer. I'm going to make them feel bad if they realize how wrong they've done me. And then you start going to church and you hold unforgiveness against somebody. And doesn't it get to you when you look at that person and you're mad at them? They really don't know it, but they're having the time of their life still. And it's really true. And who is the one suffering? The one that's suffering is the one that is unforgiving. And unforgiveness is like a slow cancer. How many of you ever had a garden growing and then all of a sudden you watch the weeds come up and you say, well, you know what? I think I'll let the weeds grow a little bit longer, then I'll cut them down. And they get a little higher. And then before long, the weeds get so high, they choke out the beauty of the garden, and whatever was growing there basically turns to ruin. In the same way in your life, if you choose to not forgive people, it's going to be a slow-eating cancer. It's going to start out as bitterness, and then it's going to turn into anger. It's going to turn into frustration and pure hatred, and sooner or later, your heart is going to be turned into a heart of stone, and you will become one of the most miserable people in the world. And I don't know about you, but I've got a choice every morning. And when my feet hit the floor, now I do this every day, whether somebody's done wrong to me in a day's time or not, I still choose to say, Father, if anybody has done wrong against me today, even if I'm not aware of it, God, I forgive them. Because you know what? When my feet hit the floor in the morning or when I lay my head down at night, I want to know that I have a clear conscience. So if God forgives us instantly, you have to know you are forgiven. Because the Bible says that God forgives us of our sins and He casts them as far as the east is to the west, and He remembers them no more. Who remembers though? We do, and the devil. He knows. And the devil likes to throw everything he can at you because he wants to trip you up. He doesn't want you to have a successful relationship with God. He doesn't want you to experience the full joy that only God can give to you. Now, 1 John 1:9 in the NIV says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God looks at you and I through the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood that was shed on Calvary's cross when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I want to tell you, Jesus literally had the flesh and the muscle tore off His body with a cat of nine tails whip. They mocked Him. They spat on Him. They cursed him, they beat on him, nailed him to a cross, put a crown of thorns on his head, and basically stripped him clothless on the cross, and then they cast lots before him while he hung and died, and he still said, "Father, forgive them." Now see, the devil wants us to think, though, that we are not forgiven. The devil wants us to carry a guilty conscience around. And I guarantee you, in this church house today, I'm not judging nobody, but I can almost guarantee you that somebody in a church house here or anywhere else has probably walked in today with some type of unforgiveness in their heart, not willing to lay it down and go through life. And I want to tell you this, when you die and stand before God Almighty, you will give an account of your life before Him. What is He going to say to you? What will His words be? And I hope that we are so ready to meet the Lord when we die or when the Lord comes back for us. I hope that our hearts and our consciences are pure and clean before the Lord, because I say this so many times, I want to hear God say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." But even more, I want to enjoy my days upon the earth. I know there's people who don't like me because I'm a Christian and I'm a pastor, and that's all right. That's quite all right. I witnessed to some family members this last week, and they cut me off. That's okay. I forgive them. But I know that the word of the Lord has gone forth with might and power, and a seed has been planted, and that seed will grow, and I do know and believe my family members will come to Jesus Christ. And I have to be in the same way. Man, if God forgives me, I want to forgive people, because I tell you what, I don't ever want to come into church and have unforgiveness. Because I tell you what, I couldn't stand in this pulpit and preach this word if I had any hard feelings against anybody. But yet I've gone into churches. I went into a church many years ago. They called me and said, "Brother Jim, This fella called me from the Baptist Association, said, 'Hey, now we got this church up here. I'm going to warn you.' He said, 'It's like a brood of vipers in there.' He said, 'Them some of the hot-headedest folks I've ever seen in my life.' He said, 'All they like to do is fight, but they want to try to bring the church back again, and they want to try to build the church back up. Will you go and preach for them?' 'Sure, I will.' Well, I couldn't be like Jonah and say, 'Well, Lord, I don't want to go preach to those people. They're wicked people.' So I went, well, and I saw a lot of unforgiveness. And I saw what unforgiveness had done in that church. And it had literally killed the fellowship. It had killed the joy in people's hearts and lives. And there was no happiness. When they got up to sing songs, nobody stood. People stood there with songbooks, and they looked like a bunch of stiffs in a morgue standing there. There was not a smile on their face. There was no, what a joy, what a fellowship. Divine, there was nothing like that. There was no amazing grace happening there. And I stayed there for a few months, and the people decided to hold on to their hard heart. They decided to hold on to unforgiveness, and they weren't growing, and people started to leave again. And finally, I called a friend of mine. I said, "Hey, I know you're wanting to preach. Quite a thing to do to a guy who's wanting to preach." But I told him about the church. He said, I'll get it. I'll go up. I'll take over." And he did. Same thing happened there. He lasted a little while and he's gone. But see, that's what I want to tell you this morning. Unforgiveness And having an unforgiving spirit will literally kill the church body. It will. Now, I know people who are strong in their faith and in their relationship with God, and they won't let anything like that come up on them. They'll pray it off of their self. And I know there's people in church who pray, and I'm glad we got folks that love to pray, but we should seek every day of our lives, because God called us here as Christian people to fellowship, to love, and to serve one another. So if our sins are forgiven and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, then we better get that in our hearts and in our minds, and we better meditate on it. I mean, golly, God's forgiven me for what I did yesterday, for anything I done this morning. If I ask Him, I've got a clean slate. Hallelujah. And praise God for His love and His goodness. I tell you this, God is faithful. God is love. The Bible says in Him there is no darkness. God is light. If we are children of the living God, and if God is light, and we say that we are light, but there's darkness operating in us, then we are liars. If we say we're children of God, but we live a dark and a sinful life, we're liars. We're not truly children of God. If we love the Lord and serve Him with all of our heart, then you know what? It's going to show within us. The body, that you can tell. Have you ever walked up to somebody and you could just tell they was a good Christian person, that they had Jesus alive inside of them? You know why? Because they have a radiance. They have a joy. They're approachable. They'll pray for others. I tell you what, this church is full of. This church is full of good Christian people, because when there's a need, nobody comes up with an excuse that they can't do something. Everybody bands together and they make sure that whoever's in need is taken care of. And I'll tell you what, if we can't physically meet a need, we can take it to God and God can meet a need. So I thank the Lord that we have a wonderful church and a wonderful church family here. And God's forgiveness, it's complete. See, God's forgiveness doesn't go just a little ways and then stop. God doesn't require you to go through a 5-month study course and then take some test and then go jump over a mountain and swim across the ocean to receive His forgiveness. When He forgives you, it's all complete. It's all done. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, "It is finished." And what He meant was what God the Father sent Him to do had been completed, and the gap, the big divide that separated you and I from God, the blood of Jesus made it to where we could be close to God again. So it's full circle forgiveness. And when you and when I forgive somebody else, we can't say, "Well, I forgive you, but..." We can't ever interject that word "but" into forgiveness. Either you forgive or you don't forgive. If you choose not to forgive, I just read it to you in verse 15, if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you. It's that simple. You can't barter with God. Now, I tell you, one disciple who really failed Jesus was Peter. Well, Judas really failed Jesus. He betrayed Him. He took money in place of Christ's life. He accepted a bribe. And Jesus still forgave Judas. And Peter denied Jesus three times after Peter saying, "Oh, no, Lord, I won't deny you." But he did it anyway three times before the cock crowed. He denied him. And I guarantee you, I'll bet Jesus laid eyes on Peter and probably bore a hole right through his heart. And I'll bet Peter was ready to go dig a 9-foot-deep hole and go hide in it because he realized what he'd done. But I guarantee you, when Peter came for restoration, Jesus forgave him, and it was full circle. Jesus didn't say, "Well, Peter, I'll forgive you, but I can't forget what you done." Well, when God forgives and forgets, that's what you and I have to do. And sometimes we have to ask God, as human beings, we have to ask God to give us power to help us forget. I watched a court case on TV here some years back, and this man killed this woman in cold-blooded murder, killed her. And the father of this woman who was killed, Christian man, went up to the guilty party and said to him, "You may have taken my daughter's life, but I want you to know, in Jesus' name, I forgive you and I love you, and I'm going to be praying for you." Now, how many of us could do that? Somebody take a life of your family member, or maybe take your home, you lose your whatever. How many of us could go to that person and say, "I forgive you and I love you. Let me share what Christ has done in my life"? Because I'll tell you what, when you look at it, now I preached last week about sin. Sin is sin. The only unforgivable sin that the Bible talks about is blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. That's the only unforgivable sin. But every other sin, see, we as people, we put sin on different levels. Shoplifting down here. Speeding in traffic. I talked about that last week, obeying the speed laws. Obeying the speed limit here, breaking the laws, burglary. Then up here we have murder. We stair step things. And, well, you know, this person here, they were just a shoplifter. They're not too bad. But the person who committed murder, oh my gosh, give them life in prison. Isn't it funny how you and I, as people, we look at the wrong that others do and we judge it on a scale. But when God looks at sin, it's all on the same level. Sin is dirty. Sin is corrupt. And everybody does it. And we can't go around saying, "I can't forgive you because of what you've done. It was pretty bad." Now, I tell you what, I'm going to tell on myself. One Sunday, I was having a bad day. I shouldn't have even gone to church. I shouldn't have even preached that morning. But after church was over, I was in my office, and here come two of the deacons. Bust through the door. Didn't knock, just busted through the door. One had an attitude this high up in the air, and he was supposed to be a preacher too. And he slams his Bible down on my desk and just ripped into me. Well, you know what happened? I let my temper get the best of me. And I come up out of that chair, and it was on. The war of words was happening. The devil was at work. He was at work. And I said, "Get out of my office. Go. You ain't got no right to talk to me that way. Get out of here." And boy, they's gone. And I left the church. I slammed that front door, got in the car. Boy, put it in gear down the road. I was boiling mad. Can't believe somebody do that to me, make my morning go. I already had a bad morning. Got home, and I'm sitting in my chair, and all of a sudden, I felt the Lord saying to me, somebody sure acted like a little infant today. That sure wasn't the acts of a mature Christian pastor. And boy, the guilt started to come. And I called both of those deacons that afternoon. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what happened this morning. I'm sorry I blew up. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. One, yeah, it's okay, Brother Jim. I'm sorry too. You know, I just having a bad morning myself. And the other one, though, no. The one that's almighty up here. Oh, no, I'm not forgiven. Uh-uh. And after I left that church, and for the longest time, one man held on to unforgiveness, and I'd let it go. And I hadn't seen this guy in a long time. Well, somebody passed away from the church, and I went to the visitation and walked in, and there he sat with his wife. And I tell you what, if he could have crawled under a chair, he looked like he was ready to crawl under a chair. But I walked right in. I went up to him, shook his hand, said, Brother Kenny, how are you? It's so good to see you. Sister Dorothy, how are you? Good to see you. And finally, he said, can I talk to you? Sure, Kenny. I just want to let you know, I'm really sorry for what happened. See, he let it carry. I'm glad he did it, but he let it go too long. The moment that God forgives you, forgive somebody else. Because I'm telling you what, you want to talk about the best freedom you'll ever feel. You'll never feel freer than when God's forgiven you and then you have forgiven somebody else. And if God's people would start getting united together, and I'm not talking about by religion, I'm talking about by love, by the love of God our Father. If the people of God would come together and worship Him and love each other, you want to talk about feeling freedom. You want to talk about feeling good. That's good stuff right there. I love to hug necks. I don't know how many of you anybody here like to hug? I know some folks don't. They're like, don't get near me, brother. So, but that's okay too. I was like that for a long time. I was like, don't touch me. Don't you? Now I'm like, hey, bring it on in. Give me a hug. Lastly, God's forgiveness, it's lasting. It's lasting. And it's always available. See, when we get to heaven, we don't have to worry about sin anymore. We won't be in this physical body, this flesh, any longer. But as long as we are on the face of this earth, and I don't care what you've done, I don't know how many times I've heard people say it, well, I've done so much bad, there's no way God could forgive me now. Go back and read this morning's scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verses 12, 14, and 15. And John chapter 1, or 1 John 1, 9. Go back and read those. Memorize them, because when you think that there's no more forgiveness left, that's just the devil telling you a lie. The devil wants to keep you from getting to God first. If he can pull you away, he's got you hooked and he'll pull you on further. I heard one preacher say it like this. He said, sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. And he said, farther away from God than you ever wanted to be. But it's always available. You can wake up during the night. Maybe you didn't pray before going to bed. But I want you to know this. You can wake up during the night. If you've got a guilty conscience about you, you can get at the side of your bed and get on your knees. And you can pray to God. And God, He doesn't close. He doesn't sleep. He's on the throne. He's always listening. He's always faithful, and He's always willing to forgive. If He wasn't willing to forgive, then I don't think He would have sent Jesus to the cross. I mean that. If He wasn't willing to forgive, then I don't think He would have ever sent Jesus to the cross. But because He was so willing, He gave His only begotten Holy Son. Somebody who is immortal became mortal for you and I. And that's the greatest gift. And it's always there. It never goes away. You can never do too much bad because God's forgiveness, it's freely given. It's always there. You don't have, like I said, you don't have to go the extra mile for God to forgive you. He loves you as you are. And I said this too. I had people come into church before, and boy, they'd be some of the foulest smelling, dirty. Really, I'm not kidding. Drunks off the sidewalk come in. I had one drunk one time want to come in and preach a sermon that morning. And well, we had to kind of escort him out because he was pretty bad off, but we still showed him a lot of love. But anyway, some of the foulest people come into church, and I'm talking, I've seen Satanists. I've seen ladies that walk the street, I'll say it nicely, ladies that walk the street, drug dealers, criminals, seen it all. I've been to the jails and witnessed to them between a piece of plexiglass or whatever that glass is called. I've witnessed to them between that glass, and I've led some to Christ. And I've watched some of them shed tears thinking that they weren't worth God's love. I want you to know this. You are worth God's love. So, with that, I'm going to close. And I want to say this. If you're holding any unforgiveness, there's an altar open here. You can pray at your seat. I'm here. I'll be glad to talk to you. But if you're holding any unforgiveness, my prayer, or if you just don't like somebody, I hope you get that out of the way this morning and get it out. Get it gone and experience the true freedom and love of Jesus Christ and experience His forgiving touch.